Blog Talk Radio.
Terror attacks. 250 in the name of the religion of peace. In the name of any other religion, zero. By Islamophobes? Well, there was one, but that was a minor incident. A Ukrainian, he's been charged with placing a bomb near an English mosque during Ramadan Ding Dong, but there were no injuries or deaths. So, there you go. Failed attempt. Okay, those were the terror attacks. Suicide bombings, 26. Dead bodies, 1,342. Wounded, 2,585, all during the month of the Ramadan Bombathan event. And we have to endure this for another few days, guys. I'm sorry about that to share that with you, but that's just the way it is. This is going to be going on until the 7th of August. But, what's the monthly jihad report for July? Jihad attacks, 306. Countries, 21. Religions, 5 were affected. Dead bodies, 1,548. Critically injured, 2,878. How many Allah Akbars did we have? Oh, we had 7. There we go. Oh, and hello, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. Infidels are watching with your host, Cal Fritzy. Sorry about that. I just got a little sidetracked reading my report from the Religion of Peace.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Free.
talkradio.com.
We're faced with an enemy who are determined to destroy us, and we have no hope of negotiating a peace. Unless that changes, we are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And we absolutely are. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if you have kids in the room, get them out, because Kel is on the warpath. Kel is a very, very, very unhappy infidel tonight. I have news coming out of my ears about more Islamic atrocities, and I'm getting sick of it. But even more so, I'm getting sick and tired of the political correctness surrounding Islam. This latest one crossed my desk this week, and believe me, I'm furious. I put the link in the chat room for you folks to take a look at. This is unbelievable. The iconic Ground Zero photo, which was nearly excluded from the museum for being too rah-rah American. What is that? I have the photo in the slides above the show notes. You can take a look at that. Of course, I don't even need to tell you to go up and take a look. You know what flag, what photo I'm talking about. That's right, the three firefighters who raised the American flag amidst the rubble of 9/11. That was nearly excluded from a 9/11 Memorial Museum. The iconic picture. I do not believe this. I was reading. I had to read this twice. Oh, come on. That is one of the most known, renowned photos within the aftermath of 9/11, and they nearly excluded it from the memorial, the 9/11 Memorial Museum. And I'm not kidding you, because the curator thought it was too rah-rah American. And that curator, the dirtbag, his name is Michael Shulin. He's also referred to as the museum's creative director. And he was among the staffers who considered the Tom Franklin photograph, it was too kitschy and too rah-rah American. That's according to Battle for Ground Zero, and that's from St. Martin's Press by Elizabeth Greenspan. That'll be out next month, by the way. This is what this dirtbag had to say. I really believe that the way America will look best, the way we can really do best, is not to be American so vigilantly and so vehemently. Do you believe that? Yeah, that's what he said. Now, this guy, he's worked on popular post 9/11 photography exhibits. This one is called Here is New York. This one's in Soho. He was hired by Alice Greenwald, and she's the director of the museum. She hired him for his unique approach. Well, that was a poor call. Dimmy. I don't know which one's the bigger Dimmy. But eventually, the chief curator, Jan Ramirez, oh, here we go. She proposed a compromise. The Franklin shot was minimized in favor of three different photos via three different angles of the flag-raising scene. Well, isn't that special? Now, there are several images that were undercut, and they undercut the myth of one iconic moment. And this is what Ramirez said. She suggested instead an event from multiple points of views, like the attacks, should be viewed as more on a more broad scale. Now, getting back to Dirtbag Shulin, he didn't like the three photographs, but he went along with it. Shulin told the Post he didn't know that the way Greenspan described the discussion about the photographs is the way that I would have. Dirtbag goes on. My concern, as it always was, is that we not reduce 9/11 down to something that was too simple in its simplicity, and it would actually distort the complexity of the event, the meaning of the event. And that photograph is not iconic. That photograph does not speak volumes of what we endured by the Islamic terrorists on December, I'm sorry, I'm spitting nails. September 11th, 2001. That photograph is not an iconic tribute to those people, those 3,000 individuals who died that day. But Michael Schulin, he's a scumbag. He doesn't think it's worthy of exhibit. But, you know, what do you expect from a guy who lived in Seoul, you know, who lives in Soho? He was still living in Soho on September 11th, 2001, or 2011. He helped organize the Here's New York exhibit shortly after the attack, and it grew to include thousands of photographs taken by professionals and ordinary New Yorkers. The collection, it was later donated to the New York Historical Society. But that photograph, it wasn't the only item that the officials and the family members were argued over. No, no. Earlier, it was decided that no human remains or photos of body parts be included in the museum. Dust from the collapse of the towers will be on display, but only dust, which has been tested and determined not to contain remains. Well, I think, you know what? I'm not ghoulish. But why not? Let's really show the world the handiwork that these 19 suicide bombers engaged in. Come on, Michael Schulin. Let's show them. Let's show. Let's be honest about this. I do not believe what I read some days. I do not believe that this is even within our repertoire of conversation, that that photo would be excluded from a 9/11 memorial museum. And I do say, this is in quotes, because it's too rah-rah American. You know what? I'm going to go off topic just for a quick second, because in terms of this photograph, they were going to make, I don't know if they have as of yet, but there was a proposal to turn that photograph, make it into a statue, which I thought was a wonderful idea. However, they wanted to include a white dude, a black dude, and an Hispanic dude. You look at the photo, do you see a black guy in there? Do you see an Hispanic? No. They wanted to be all inclusive. Like, I do appreciate all walks of life were 9/11 heroes. All sorts of them out there. Whites, blacks, Hispanics. I appreciate that. But to create a statue that would include two races that were not involved in this iconic flag raising, I think diminishes the moment. They were three white firefighters. But race is such a popular topic these days, right, Al Sharpton? Not so Sharpton? Yeah, race is such a big issue these days. I am telling you, I'm furious over this. I was chomping at the bit to get on the air. I nearly scheduled an impromptu show the other day just to rant about this, even if it was going to be for 15 minutes. I can't even tell you the disgust I feel for the dirtbag Jimmy. Michael Schulin, he's a scumbag. We all remember 9/11. We will never forget 9/11. But it's people like Michael Schulin, the scumbag, who is trying to diminish that. Due to cultural sensitivities as well, because we do not want to offend the Muslims. I don't care about the Muslims. I don't care about the Islamists. All I care about is what happened in my North America on that Tuesday morning. I want the memorial to reflect the truth of what happened. And I want that photograph in that museum memorial. This is enough. I have had it with the exhortations, like the scumbag Michael Shulin telling us it's too kitschy, it's too pro-American, it's too rah, rah, rah. It's too bad, Shulin, because 9/11 is what it is. It happened. And you and your ilk cannot ever tell us it did not. And you cannot diminish the memories that we have of that day. Ever! Looking at a photo of this guy, I bet he speaks with a lisp. Well, like I say, I came out of this gate swinging. I am very, very angry about this, and I hope you are too. Share this article. Share it far and wide, and just let everybody know what sort of dimitude is actually running this museum. I wish this Greenspan had never hired this character, ever. I don't know what his deal is. I don't care. All I know is that he is totally tarnishing the whole ideology behind this museum, this memorial. Totally. I put this in the blog. When did I put it in the blog? I put it in 3 days ago. I don't know what's happened since then. But believe me, I'll keep on top of it, and I'll certainly let you know. Doesn't this just make you ill, though, ladies and gentlemen? You read things like this, and you shake your head. You wonder what happened. Wasn't 9/11 supposed to be the one, the big one, to actually warn us about the threat of Islam in the West? Wasn't it? Clearly not. What will it take to make people realize Islam is a threat? This is what Islam does. This is what Islam is. This is what Islam is capable of. I will not endure another 9/11. I will not endure a 7/7, which happened in London, England. I will not endure another train wreck, a terrorist attack in Spain, again. Michael Shulin, if I could sit you down for 5 minutes and just share with you what I think of you, but I can't. Because I'm way over here, and you're way over there, and you're getting away with this. I would swear my head off. Believe me, in the privacy of my own home, the expletives did fly, but I won't do that on the air, because I do try to keep this show as clean as I can, and I really do not like the swearing on the air anyway. And plus two, you know, I'm a lady. But it really, like I say, I'm just lost for words some days when I come across these stories. It's just absolutely unbelievable. USA? Kitschy, Yeah, I guess so. Well, What can I tell you? What can I say? Like I say, just share the story if you haven't read it. If you, if there's people out there who haven't come across this, just take it to them. Show them what America is being reduced to by these dimmies. Show them who's really in charge. Yeah, the Muslims, apparently. CARE, ISNA, Student Associations, Muslim Student Associations. Let's see who's really in charge. You want to see? I'm telling you right now who's obviously in charge. Not us infidels. The dhimmis and the Muslims. I bet you anything. It doesn't say anything in this article, but I would not be surprised if they had an imam come in and approve some of this exhibit. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Why not? We have CARE telling the FBI how to conduct courses in sensitivity training, race relations. So why not this? Jeez. Sorry, guys. Like, I'm really not happy with this at all. There's a lot of stuff I need to get through tonight, but I have George here with me, and I think he wants to weigh in on this, and so I'm going to bring George on the air. And this is George Sincer of Firefox News Online. I'm going to bring him on right now and see what he thinks of this. Hi, George. What do you think? He's there somewhere. Here, I'll put him back on hold, and I'll bring him back on in a minute. I think he's just getting his mic set up there. George, I'll bring you back on in a sec. Just hang on. But while I do that, while George does that, rather, I just want to remind my Canadian listeners and those in particular in the Toronto area that we have a rally taking place tomorrow at Queen's Park in Toronto, and this is to protest the Al Quds rally. Now, you guys are familiar with Al Quds. That is the organization that supports Hezbollah and Hamas. They're the group that claims the city of Jerusalem is theirs. Al Quds is the Arabic name for the city of Jerusalem. Al-Quds means to be holy or pure. Well, they're holding their annual rally in Toronto at Queen's Park tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. The Jewish Defense League and Act for Canada will be holding their counter rallies. I put the link right in my show notes for you, right below a rally shout-out from Act for Canada, a group with which I'm actively involved. So I am doing this for my group. I'm also doing this for the Jewish Defense League, another group that I'm not actively involved in, but I do absolutely support. Because once again, guys, the Islamists in Toronto, they're getting ready to mark Al-Quds Day with a demonstration at Queen's Park tomorrow, like I say, 3 p.m. And I'm asking my Canadian listeners, and of course my American listeners, and my listeners in Europe and other places where you may be listening. Why should you be concerned about this? I'll tell you why you should be concerned about this. Because Al-Quds, it's an annual event. It's founded by the Islamic dictator Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini. He founded this event in 1979. He founded it to mark the end of Ramadan Ding Dong. This is supposed to be a day of solidarity with the Palestinians that calls for the destruction of Israel and its replacement with an Islamic extremist state. Palestine, I call them the Falestines, because they're nothing but failures. So yeah, they're planning this rally tomorrow. Shout out, FYI, counter rally, guys. Act for Canada, Jewish Defense League, If you are in the Toronto area, please be there. All the information you need is on the website. And like I say, I have the link right in my show notes, so please click on there, get all the information you need. I also have a statement from the Jewish Defense League. I'll read that one in a moment. But I just want to give you a few cliff notes here. Now, in Iran, the Islamic regime, they organized, they still do organize annual Al-Quds rallies. They have such slogans as death to the United States and death to Israel. They're chanted by regime supporters. These rallies, they're held in other Muslim countries such as Syria and Iraq. In recent years, Islamists have taken this anti-Semitic rally to democratic countries such as Germany, Sweden, France, and Canada. Now, they're citing a commitment to freedom of expression and promise. They promised by the organizers to respect Canadian laws. The Ontario government has allowed these Khomeinists and other foes of Israel to assemble on the lawn of Queen's Park. Queen's Park is my legislature. That is my provincial legislature. Now, I have played clips from other Al-Quds rallies in the past, but they do. They incite the crowd. They get the crowds going. They get them to shout these anti-Israeli slogans. Of course, they're denouncing Israel in the worst form. They refer to Israel as a cancer and a rogue state deserving an elimination. There was a journalist, and he was also an imam, by the name of Zafar Bangash. He's a strong supporter of Iran. He called Israeli nationalists oppressors and criminals. This is Al-Quds, guys. And they're holding a rally in Queen's Park in Toronto, Ontario, tomorrow at 3 p.m. so they can spout this nonsense. What they do at this rally, guys, they support the Islamic regime in Iran. They hold up pictures of Ayatollah Khomeini. They raise the Islamic regime's flag as well as the flag of the Iran-sponsored terrorist organization Hezbollah. Now, this is a kicker. Last year, there was a contingent of radical queer activists who supported the rally. I guess they were not too concerned that homosexuality is a death penalty in Islam under Sharia law. Yeah, that didn't bother them. They supported the Al-Quds hate rally. Why not? But like I say, we should all be concerned about Islamic extremists spreading this hateful, hateful propaganda and ideology. And in this case, tomorrow at Queen's Park, Toronto, Ontario. It bothers me that they can have this hate rally on public property, taxpayers' property, my property. Like I say, this is the Ontario legislature. This is a place that symbolizes core Canadian values such as freedom, democracy, and equality. It's disturbing, guys, to see police officers operating according to what has now become their standard procedure, protecting Islamist demonstrators while leaning heavily on counter-demonstrators. For example, last year, a Jewish man had brought his dog to the rally. He was handcuffed and detained by police because he would not accept an Al-Quds demonstrator's insistent that he keep his dog, a large, gentle mastiff named Cupcake, who visits sick children, away from the Muslim woman in the park. The man's name is Alan Einstoss. He responded that it was his right to walk his dog in the park and to go where he pleased in a free country. For that, he was punched in the chest by another Islamic demonstrator. Now the police, they swept in and they handcuffed Mr. Einstoff. And they took him and his dog away. And they were going to threaten to charge him with incitement to riot and assault. And they informed him that what he was doing, i.e. walking his dog on public property, was insensitive of him. Because, you know, you shouldn't bring your dog to an Islamofest. And by the way, Cupcake, his gentle mastiff, who visits sick children in the hospital, he was wearing an Israeli flag as a scarf. I love it. You know what? And the Islamist who threw the punch at Mr. Einstoff, he was not even questioned. Now, you know, you would think over time the Ontario government, they might think twice before allowing individuals who have no respect for core Canadian values to use Queen's Park to spread their hateful ideology. But no, the Al-Quds rally is going forward with government sanction. But we are voicing our dissent here on my end. Yeah. Like I say, last year, for example, the Jewish Defense League, along with the Iranian-Canadian pro-democracy activists, called for a counter-rally to protest the Al-Quds group. During the counter-rally, slogans such as "Down with the Islamic regime in Iran" and "God loves Israel" were chanted. Many Iranian-Canadian democracy activists raised the pre-revolution Iran flag of lion and sun as a symbol of opposition to the current Islamic regime. So there's hope there, guys. But this year, both the Jewish Defense League and Iranian-Canadian activists have once again called for a counter-rally. And like I say, this is a shout-out. If you, my Canadian listeners, I implore you, if you are in the Toronto area, please be there for the counter-rally. This is important. Al-Quds, Hezbollah, Hamas, Khomeini, Sharia law, oppression, disrespect for law of land. And they're getting their little rally going on here. I have something else here that I wanted to share with you. This is actually from the Jewish Defense League, Canada. They are, like I say, they are going on with their counter-rally. And they explain it so well, because who else better to explain it than the Jewish Defense League of Canada? Al-Quds Day is an intentional provocation to worldwide Jewry, and it's an affront to the civilized world. It's nothing more than a devious attempt to demonize the state of Israel by laying false claims to the city and the site that is central to the faith of Christians and Jews. The Temple Mount that is sacred to Jews has for centuries been defiled by the presence of a Victory Mosque. And the time has come not only to reject the fabricated notion that Islam has a connection to Jerusalem, but to demand the removal of the mosque and proceed with the reconstruction of the temple. Now, the only reason that Muslims covet Jerusalem is their irrational desire to destroy it, an attempt to eradicate the religions with which they are unable to compete. So I, once again, mark your calendars for tomorrow, 3 p.m., counter-rally. But you're just going to love this. The anti-Zionists, they've been denied their permit to assemble at Queen's Park this Saturday, August 3rd. The Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs received a letter from the Sergeant-at-Arms of the Ontario Legislature confirming that the annual Al-Quds Day protest has been refused a permit to hold its event at Queen's Park. This is breaking news, by the way, guys. They cited for reasons of public safety. But the JDL, they have no faith that they will adhere to the fact that their permit was denied. Like I say, breaking news. This is actually really, really wow. However, like I say, JDL, they're going to find a way to commemorate Al-Quds. They're going to try something. They might have a demonstration outside the U.S. consulate on University Avenue, for example. So the Jewish Defense League, they are being prepared. Act for Canada is being prepared. I also believe that despite the fact that their permit was denied, they're going to find a way to mark Al-Quds Day. So all the same, support the JDL. Support Act for Canada. Please, if you're in the Toronto area, be there tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. And that is my shout-out for my groups. Holy. You know what? I'm going to take a quick break. I think I might have George back. I'm not too sure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little song here. But this song has a lot of meaning for me. And I think it will for you when I explain to you what this song is. This song is based on a movie called Machine Gun Pastor. And that is the story of Sam Childers. When I first saw the title of the movie, I thought, oh boy, Machine Gun Pastor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So I nearly didn't watch it on Netflix. Nearly went over it. But then I was reading the description, and then I was reading some of the reviews, and it dawned on me, oh my God, this is Sam Childers. Now, Sam Childers, he was a badass. He engaged in drugs, alcohol, belonged to the Outlaw Motorcycle Club, was in prison. But one day, in the summer of 1992, he converted to Christianity at a revival meeting at an Assembly of God church. Childers' pastor prophesied that he would go to Africa. Well, at the end of 1998, Childers, he did make his first trip to Sudan. And that was the first of many trips to follow. He was exposed to the atrocious acts of the Lord's Resistance Army, or the LRA. And he described it, as I say myself, atrocious. Now, not long after his first trip to Sudan, Childers and his wife, Lynn, they founded the Angels of East Africa, the Children's Village in southern Sudan. The Children's Village currently houses and educates over 300 orphans, with over 1,000 children rescued since its conception. The staff at the Children's Village are primarily Sudanese orphans and widows themselves. And this is currently the largest orphanage in southern Sudan. And it is unique in its approach of leading armed rescue missions directly into the LRA territory. That is Sam Childers. If you want to watch that movie, if you have not already, please do. Machine Gun Pastor. You can find it on Netflix right now. That movie moved me to a point, there are some places where I literally cried. There were some things exposed in that movie I was never aware of. What the Islamists did to those Christians, what they did to those children, what they forced those children to become child soldiers, and how the works of Sam Childers is saving lives to this day. I was listening to, they played music in the movie, and one song really gripped me. And this is the song with which I'm going to take my break. It's called The Keeper by Chris Cornell. I will see you back here in 3 minutes.
Battlefield.
Songs that I had the pleasure to listen to in that movie. The story of Sam Childers, a Christian rescuing the children in Sudan. Now, I'm going to try to see if I can bring George on again. I tried to bring him on a few minutes ago and I got dead air. So let's see if he's here. Come on. Let me see. Click, click, click. Here we go.
George, do I have you? I'm here.
I tried to get you on a few minutes ago, and I got nothing. I thought I lost you.
Cal, I had the wrong mic input switched on.
Ah.
See, I went to Radio Shack today and got a desktop mic stand so that I could put the, so I didn't have to hold on to my XLR mic anymore.
There you go.
And it's got. I kind of splurged a little bit and got the USB.
Oh, well, that's okay. At least I got you on the air this time. And hey, welcome to the Red Fox blogger of Infidels Are Watching. What do you think about the topics I've been discussing? Oh, and I'm getting feedback, George.
How about now?
Okay, yep, it's good. Oh, no, just a little bit of feedback. But that's okay. It's not too bad. We can get through it. But what do you think about when you hear these stories, especially the first one that I related about the firefighters and that iconic photo? I just saw red. I mean, I came out of the gates on the show swinging my fists, literally. I was just so damned incensed, I just couldn't control myself. And it's all I could do not to let the expletives really go. But they sure did in the privacy of my office when I'm not on, when I wasn't on the air and I'm reading this article. And my husband, he sure was unhappy about that too. We were both just furious over that.
Well, Kel, you know, I was put on active duty within 2 hours of the terrorist attacks. To see that the devastation firsthand, when the volunteers were down there and working.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To see that iconic picture of the three firemen raising the American flag amidst the backdrop of all the devastation that happened there. I mean, you can't help but be moved by that picture. You really can't. And for this guy, Shulin, to turn around and recommend that it not be shown, and by the way, it is going to be part of that museum. They're not going to just drop
it. Of course, it better be. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm almost sorry I brought it up again with you because I'm still spitting my nails. I cannot believe that the political correctness that gets in the way of this sort of thing, George.
No, be angry. Be upset. Be furious. Be so enraged and so incensed because it not only affects the people of the United States, but it affects the people of Canada, you know, because it affects us all. It does. And believe me, if anybody gets it more than anyone in the world, it's me, because I lost 3 dear friends of mine in those towers. And to see that iconic picture, I have that iconic picture in my computer. I have it on my external hard drive. And believe me when I tell you, I'm not going to lose that picture. I can always get it again. The thing is, it should be seen by everyone. It should be there. When it was in 2002 or 2003, I went down to the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. And when I was there, I saw that same iconic picture in the bowels of that vessel. Amidst all of the different items that they had on board that ship. And believe me, I want to tell you, to be aboard her and see that, I was in my Class A uniform. I stood there.
George. You were there. You were like a first responder. And when you hear these stories, it must just infuriate you as well. Like, look at me. I'm sitting, like, just because I am geographically far away does not mean that my soul was not there. But I know what I saw when I opened up my newspaper that morning. Well, not my newspaper, but when I turned on my radio and I'm listening to the regular, you know, chat, talk radio, and all of a sudden it was preempted for something going on in New York City, and they wouldn't shut up about it. And so I finally turned on my TV, and it's like, what am I looking at? I immediately, my soul was transported to that city that morning. My soul, part of my soul has never left. I see these stories of what I call the stories of dimitude, and I have to continue to be enraged. It's been over a decade, and you know what? I like what Anne said in the chat room. Her gut still hurts, and so does mine. It will never leave my soul. Like, I still cry a lot over this devastation, this Islamic-induced devastation that happened to the people, with not only physically in the United States, but what the ramifications around the world meant to everybody in the West. This affected Canada. It affected Europe, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. These Islamists, they thought they won. But you know what? We're coming out harder, faster, stronger, and we're swinging a lot more. And believe me, I may just have a little radio show here on Block Talk Radio, but at least I'm one more voice out there telling the Islamists, enough, no more. We have had it. We're fed up. I'm not an Islamophobe. I'm Islamo-fed up.
Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you and all of your listeners. You know, when I saw the Twin Towers after they were hit initially on television, you know, I thought to myself, it's got to be, you know, I thought it was a movie at first. But to see that second plane hit, I was half asleep. I was supposed to be there with a friend of mine at Windows of the World restaurant that morning for brunch. My friend Ray and I, we were spared. Why God spared us and not all those people.
I know. I hear you. It's just, we have to convince people Islam is a true threat. If you don't believe me, for God's sake, listen to the other radio programs out there. Read some books. One book I would highly recommend is Muslim Mafia. inside of the Council of American Islamic Relations. And this will really, really show you the tentacles, how deep their tentacles reach. They are controlling the government. They are controlling the FBI, the CIA. It is unbelievable what's going on. Look at what is going on with Benghazi. And I have some breaking news on Benghazi, but I'm not too sure where to go with this one, George. Apparently there are so many CIA operatives on the floor that day in Benghazi. It's breaking news to me. I haven't been around. I was listening to, pardon me, Mark Levin yesterday, and he brought it up, and he has more today, but I haven't been to his show yet today. I listened to him in podcast, so I want to go to Mark Levin again and get part two of what's been going on in Benghazi. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, what's happened, the developments, it's explosive. It's going to blow your mind when all of this comes to the forefront. But that's all I want to say right now. I don't want to step out and start saying things which are either unverified or I'm unsure of. I really want to thoroughly go through all the information coming my way in regards to Benghazi. So, George, wow. Like I say, been quite the week.
Oh, definitely. Definitely has been quite a week. And the hits just keep on coming.
Oh, it never ends. It never ends. It never ends. It keeps on going. Yep. I always say to people that, you know, I get a lot of people asking me, why do you do this? Like, what's... It's because it's got to be done. It's got to be done. Islam has got to be exposed for what it is. We have to expose Islam, the caliphates, the Sharia law, what their intention is for us. They want a worldwide ummah. They are determined, hell or high water, to conquer the West. Gates of Vienna pissed them off. Europe, England pissed them off. Italy pissed them off. France pissed them off. They are determined. They have very long hateful memories. They will not rest until they conquer. This is what Islam is. It's a religion of war, death, and hate.
This is something that people have to understand. Islam, the Muslims, they hate everybody in the West. They don't just hate one country. They hate every country in the West. They hate our allies. They hate our friends, our neighbors, our families. Even the children that aren't even born yet are hated.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is something that people need to understand. They need to understand that Islam is not a religion of peace. It's a cult of evil. It is a destructive force that is spreading like a wildfire across the planet. And unless something is done to stop it, to put out this fire, There's no way we're going to be able to keep from getting burned by these bastards. Excuse my French.
Well, that
I'm sorry.
Is exactly it. It's burning out of control right now. We're at a critical juncture in our history, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not kidding. This is a very, very serious time in our history. Islam and the West, it's going to be very nasty. I reckon within my lifetime, we're going to see a lot of nastiness going on. I always thought that Islam could be reformed years ago. Dr. Zuhdi Jasser and people like Tariq Fatah, they had me convinced that maybe Islam could find some sort of reformation, but I do not believe that any longer. I believe it all to be a big white lie.
There's no way they can be reformed.
No
at
way.
All.
So let's.
There's only one way they'll get reformed. One way. And that's that they all, at one time, drop this evil cult that they're a part of.
Islam, in my eyes, at this point in my life, in what I am learning, and what I'm learning every single day, I'm learning more and more, is that Islam simply has to be eradicated. Rob, he says in the chat room, Cal, you're overreacting. Muslims don't want you, just want you dead. They want to be the ones to make you dead. Why do you resist? Intolerant.
Well, now I can say something to that. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the birds and the bees philosophy. If you don't teach your children about the birds and the bees, then they don't know squat. If Kel doesn't do this broadcast and stand on principle, and by the way, overreact, then nobody's going to learn anything and nobody's going to know. So guess what? Overreact.
And there I go. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I'm one person. Before 9/11, I didn't know what a Muslim was. I didn't know what they were. I'd watch movies set in the Middle East, and they dressed kind of funny, and they talked funny. But I had no idea about what Islam was all about before 9/11. Even after 9/11, I really had no idea. I didn't really start studying Islam intently until about, well, quite frankly, maybe 18 months ago. I was getting noises about what Islam was, and I was reading MSM. I was, there was an attack, and oh, we're at war over there in Iraq. But it was still very linear to me. It was still very, very, I could not envision exactly what Islam was. Then I started listening to some blog talk radio shows, and then I started getting tuned in to some blogs. And I started reading stories that, wow, Islam is really capable of true, unadulterated hatred. So then I decided, you know what, I'm going to go a little further, and I visited the blogs. I listened to the radio shows. I listened to things like Radio Jihad Network or Hold Your Awakens and these types of shows that are telling you the true grit. They're giving you the truth. They're telling you things that the mainstream media will not tell you. So it really started to perk me up more and more. And then I discovered Amazon. And, hey, I can buy books off Amazon. I've read so many books. I have read Marked for Death by Geert Wilders, what he explains what is going on in the Netherlands and how this man is trying to speak out against the Islamic scourge in his country, and now he has to live with bodyguards and sleep in a separate safe house pretty much every night. I have read The Terrorist Next Door by Eric Stakelbeck and what is happening in sleepy middle America with these mosques, and the pretty much the premise is, too, that if you build a mosque, they will come. I'm reading, A Muslim Mafia, Inside the World of the Council of American Islamic Relations, and the legal stranglehold, the legal and political stranglehold that they have on our government. Well, your government. I'm in Canada. But it's happening in Canada, too. It's certainly happening in the UK. I mean, if you listen to EDL Radio, they'll tell you over there what's going on. It's everywhere. Listen to the United States Defense League right here on Block Talk Radio, Saturdays at 6 p.m. They'll tell you what they're finding out, what's happening in the United States. Read the websites of the Jewish Defense League here in Canada. They'll tell you. The Act for Canada. They'll tell you. You will not get the truth in the mainstream media. So I'm delving deeper and deeper and deeper every single day, and the more I'm discovering, the more horrified I become, George. But it's got to be done.
Let me put something to you, Cal, okay? Simply put, you know, around about 2004, 2003, I started doing a lot of research into this disgusting, deceitful, evil business called Islam. I even contacted, which was a big mistake on my part at the time, but they don't have my new address, so they can't find me. I even contacted CARE to get one of those freaking Qurans so I could sit down and look at the page by page. I didn't have the HTML copy I have today.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me not one, but two of those things, and those things are freaking heavier than a phone book.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at these things, and I'm like, my God. I threw them in storage, and I didn't bother with them after that, because I got the HTML copy in my computer.
There
you are. But I read these surahs in their crappy book, and here's what I come up with. Here's what I come up with. Look at some of the surahs where it talks about the unbeliever, where it talks about committing murder, where it talks about where not only talks about executions, where it talks about taking them hostage, doing all the things that they are doing right now to people all over the globe.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I'm at the top of the hour, and I'm due for a short break, and then I want to move into my third and final topic for the evening. But you're more than welcome to stay on the line with me, George, if you like.
Well, unfortunately, as you know, I do have a show of my own to do in less
than
an
hour. Oh, yeah, you're on at 9 o'clock tonight. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, George Sensor of Firefox News Online has his program right here on Block Talk Radio, Friday through to Monday. And tonight, George, you're on 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and your show is coming up very soon. You're right. I better let you go.
Right. And by the way, folks, got news for you. On Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on my show, the host of this show comes over to my show to do the Jihad Report. So,
can you put a link in the chat room for the folks in there? They want a link.
Oh, absolutely. Of course I can do that. My goodness, what
are
my brain cells today?
Well, look then, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you go. And, George, I will see you for my weekly report on Islam at 10 p.m. tonight on your program.
I look forward to it. And I have something, by the way, that I'm going to be bringing up in the first hour. So hopefully you'll be able to come over after you get done here.
Absolutely. As soon as I wrap up here, I'll get my little pitter-patter feet over there.
All right. Well,
okay, thanks.
I'm going to hang up my line, and I'm going to drop the link in the chat room to tonight's broadcast. And, folks, trust me when I tell you, this show, got to love the host. He's adorable.
George, you're adorable. Thank you so very much. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Okay, good night. And that was George Sensor of Firefox News Online, and I'm very much looking forward to I do my weekly report on Islam on his program every Friday night. His show starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So you want to be there for that. You can find him listed under news in the Blog Talk Radio category. But I do want to take another quick break, and I want to talk about an article that I got from Monkey in the Middle, and we all know her as Katie here. Katie Findalis. That is Findalis in the chat room. Her blog, Monkey in the Middle, I lifted an article from her, and I want to share it with you when I come back. But I have something here that I think you'll enjoy. I also listen to another radio program. That is the Jimmy Z Show, and you can hear him at jimmyzshow.blogspot.com. He's also a friend of mine, and I ask him, can I borrow your stuff? And he says, Kel, borrow whatever you like. His show is rocking. He also does a lot of his own. He does all his own music. Everything he does, everything you hear on his radio program, that's all him, because he's also a musician. He does, however, the greatest song parodies I have ever heard. I'm going to share one with you right now. This is from Jimmy Z. This is called My Sharia.
With this veil, Sharia, when you wear your burqa, dear, and people sneer, I wouldn't know if you're a female, Sharia, never gonna stop. stop or give it up. Killing infidels always got it planned. Underhand, give a lot of yell. My Sharia. That's our little girl Fada. She bought a bra. We lost a lot of family pride. Sharia, it all should stay a mystery. In history, beheading is the honorable way. Sharia, never gonna stop or give it up. Killing infidels always got it planned. Underhand, give a lot of yell. My Sharia.
So thanks, Jimmy, for letting me steal your stuff. Now, I was saying that I had an article here from Monkey in the Middle, and that's Finn Dallas. This is unbelievable. I put the link in the chat room for you guys, and I also have the link right in the show notes. So for you guys who are listening in archive, it's right there as well for you, okay? This is Muslim persecution of Christians, and this is of May of 2013. Let me see, where should I start with this, okay? There is a man accused of helping a Saudi woman convert to Christianity. He was sentenced to 6 years in prison and 300 lashes. And the daughter was also sentenced to 6 years and 300 lashes. This caused her to flee. She reportedly fled to Sweden, and the authorities are trying to find her and extradite her back to Saudi Arabia. Okay. Now, if you know anything about lashing, you know that they would not survive 300 consecutive lashings. No. They would probably perish under the 100 mark. I don't know if you're aware of this, but what they do is that when they sentence you to lashes, they might give you, say you're sentenced to receive, 120 lashes. They might give you 40, let you heal up, drag you back out, give you the other 40, let you heal up, drag you back out, then give you the rest. Yeah. So, I don't know how they're going to carry out this sentence. But Nigeria, it continues to be the most dangerous nation for Christians. This is where more Christians have been killed in the last year than all around the Muslim world combined. Nigeria. For example, Boko Haram, Muslim militants, they stormed the home of a Pentecostal pastor and secretary of the Christian Association of Nigeria and opened fire on him, and they instantly murdered him. Boko Haram gunmen, they killed 14 Christians including the cousin and two nephews of the Reverend Moses Zila, head of the Christian organization dedicated to preventing AIDS and caring for AIDS patients and orphans. People are not aware. In the Middle East and in North Africa, Christians are not safe. It's a lengthy article. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm just taking the bullet points. Like I say, I put the link in the chat room for you guys, and it's right in my show highlights for the archive listeners. This is what's going on, though, guys. This is that Christianity is indeed under attack. Look what's going on with the church attacks in Bosnia. The Serbian Orthodox Church of St. Saba of Sarajevo, where Muslims make up approximately half of the population, it was desecrated. Six of its window panes broken. The unidentified vandals wrote Allah in dark paint twice on the church wall. Now, a month earlier, unidentified persons, they tried to set this church on fire. What about what's happening in Central Africa Republic? According to the Episcopal Commission for Justice and Peace, since an Islamic rebel leader proclaimed himself president, the situation for Christians has deeply worsened. The organization warns against the evil intentions for the programmed and planned desecration and destruction of religious Christian buildings, and in particular, the Catholic and Protestant churches. What's going on in Egypt? Well, two Coptic Christian churches were attacked, one in Alexandria, the other in Upper Egypt. St. Mary in Alexandria was attacked by Molotov cocktails and bricks, causing the gate to burn and the stained glass windows to shatter. 1,000 Christians tried to defend the church against 20,000 Muslims screaming, "Allahu Akbar," or "Allah the Greater." One Copt was killed and several injured. In the village of Minbal in Upper Egypt, after Muslim youth harassed Christian girls, including hurling bags of urine at them, and the Coptic men came to their rescue, another Muslim mob stormed the village church of Prince Tedros El Mashriki. They hurled stones and broke everything inside the church, including doors and windows. This mob then went along the streets looting and destroying all Coptic-owned businesses and pharmacies and torching cars. Any Copt met by the mob in the street, they were beaten. What's going on in Iran? I'm telling you. Because they refused to stop using the national Persian language during its services, which makes the gospel unintelligible to all Iranian Muslims, some of whom converted, the Central Assemblies of God Church in Tehran was raided by security services during a prayer meeting. Its pastor taken to an unknown location, and the church was searched, and its books, documents, and equipment seized. Security agents posted a sign stating that the church is now closed. Libya. The Catholic Church of the Immaculate Conception in Benghazi was bombed. In Syria, a violent explosion destroyed the church and convent of the Capuchin Franciscan Friars in Deir Ezzor. Tanzania. During a service to mark its official opening, a new church in a predominantly Christian suburb was bombed, killing at least 5 people and wounding some 60 others. Apostasy, blasphemy, proselytism. In Egypt, 24-year-old Demania Ibab Abdul Noor. He's a social studies teacher. He was fired and arrested for comparing the late Coptic Pope Shenouda to Islam's Prophet Muhammad, as well as putting her hand on the back. What did she do? Let me see if I got this right. She would put her hand on her neck or her stomach every time she mentioned Muhammad. And this was interpreted by some students under 10 years old as disgust. Now, she would be the last Coptic Christian victim to be arrested or imprisoned in in a defamation of Islam spree that began under the now ousted President Morsi. That's in Egypt, guys. This is so much for the Arab Spring, hmm? What about in Iran? The head, Houkani, he's a Christian prisoner in Sharutz. He's suffering from internal digestive bleeding due to being beaten. In Kashmir, two Christians accused of carrying out acts of proselytism for distributing pamphlets and publications with biblical passages to some young Muslims were savagely beaten by a mob, and they were later arrested by police. However, the police did rescue them from secure lynching, which would have definitely have taken place. Kekistanistan, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Central African Republic. It is everywhere. Christians are under attack. They're attacked in Pakistan, Indonesia. Now they're becoming under attack in the West. And we are seeing this. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot believe where the time went, but I am out of it. I'm going to wrap it up. Like I say, please read the entire article from Monkey in the Middle. It is unbelievably awesome. Very good insight into how Christians are persecuted in Islamic states and North Africa. I have a few programming notes I want to share with you, though. I have a sister show right here on Red Fox Blogger, Infidels Are Watching. The host of that program, his name is Randy L. Noble, critically acclaimed author. His program is called The Cross in the Desert. He will be having his show right here on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is his show. I, like I say, he's a sister show of Blog Talk Radio. He is a sister show of Red Fox Blogger. Please try to be here Sunday evening for that, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, The Cross in the Desert with host Randy Noble. As well, I will see you guys on my own show again on Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I know, I don't like to confuse people, but I had an old show and I canceled it. And I thought, well, I'm just going to do a couple of little afternoon shows. But I obtained a sponsor who wanted me back on the airwaves in primetime. And I agreed. So this is why you're hearing me back on Friday evenings. But I like the Monday afternoon time slot. It's quiet. It's peaceful. I can also invite guests from around the world. It's a good time slot for my guests, say from Europe. It's good for them. So I like the Monday afternoon 3 p.m. time slot. I truly love the Friday 7 p.m. time slot. I also want to share with you another programming note, and that is please listen to the Radio Jihad Network. You can hear the programs here 7 days a week. On Monday, you got Vito Esposito, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday, you have the Andrew Beside Show, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday, you have the Eliza Jane Show, and that is Freedom Quest, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. On Thursday, you have the Gaddy Adelman Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. On Friday, you have the Lisa Marie Johnson Show. Her time is to be announced. On Saturday, you have Usama Dakdok, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sunday, you have the Uncle Dave Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And did I say Usama Dakdok, 10 p.m. Eastern Time? I hope so. Otherwise, I'm fired. But these are all these shows, and you can listen to them all right here on Blog Talk Radio. These are the folks out there with the voice telling you what is going on within the world of Islam and its Sharia law. Now, before I do let you go, some of you cannot be in the chat room on Mondays because it's, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And, you know, some of you have something called jobs. So if you can't be in the chat room on Monday or you can't listen and archive later on, my own programming note, a week from today, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, my guest will be a very, very exciting one. You are going to be listening to the dulcet tones of Tom Trento of the United West. That's right. Tom Trento of the United West will be my guest on this program a week from today. So please try to be there for that. It should be very, very interesting, very fun, very good. But I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight, everybody in the chat room. It was pretty busy in there tonight. You guys rock. Anne, DOC, that's my doc. Eric, GGT, Jason Bly, Poppy, Robert, a.k.a. Bob. Rob L., Tap Into the Truth. Holger was here a little earlier. There were people here earlier who popped in and out. I had various guests. I really do appreciate that. I appreciate those listening on other devices who tune in and listen to the rantings of a mad fox, which I am. I do this because it's important to me. I do this because I want to reach out to you. I do this because I try in my own awkward, broken way to educate, to let you know that there is a threat out there, and that threat is called Islam. Please pay attention to what's going on around you. If I can reach one person, my work is done. You guys have a wonderful weekend. For my Canadian friends, happy long weekend, and behave yourselves out there. Okay, I'm over and out. I will see all of you right here Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Good night, everybody. And just a reminder, everybody, counter rally at Queen's Park tomorrow. Counter rally against the Al-Quds hate rally. Try to be there. On behalf of Act for Canada and the Jewish Defense League, I thank you. Try to be at the counter rally, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen's Park. Have a good night once again, everybody. Bye-bye.